are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, understanding consent as a girl, that's what we're talking about this morning. And, you know, as a young woman, any young woman should be free to say no and safe to say yes only when it's right. But too many girls are raised with mixed messages about their bodies, about their voices, and their worth. Consent is not just about protection from assault. It's about respect, boundaries, and honoring one's own value. God created every girl with sacred dignity. And when a girl understands her right to say no and the power behind it, she begins to walk in freedom and self-respect. And like I said, I think this is an important conversation, not just for the young women out there, but also for the gentlemen as well. They need to know what consent means, right? So we're joined on the line by Mercy Manyema. Mercy, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning to you and to everybody. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Mercy, for a very important conversation. What does consent actually mean beyond just saying no?
So I was reflecting this, and I think it means so much more than the no, because consent doesn't start with the no. Mm-hmm. It starts with a decision that somebody made about their body and what they're going to allow themselves to do, what freedom they're going to give themselves, what freedom they'll give other people over their body. And that as well is informed by the value that you put on your body and how you understand your worth. If I can give an example, if you have a special set of dishes, mm-hmm. That you value to a certain extent, that determines how you allow yourself, how much freedom you give yourself to use them, and who else you allow to use that set of dishes.
Yeah.
And so when somebody asks to use a plate and you say no, it's because you made a decision way before that this is a very valuable and it's expensive. If it breaks, I won't be able to afford it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to allow everybody to use it. So it's the same thing with your body. It's honoring, it's honoring a promise you made to yourself. It's honoring your boundaries. It's honoring your own value. It's also honoring God and honoring the worth that He has put in you. And it's honoring your future. Mm-hmm. It's honoring your future because consent and what we do with our bodies can impact certain decisions. It can take away certain decisions from you because you've done something today. And so it's honoring and it's preserving all of that.
I love that. I really love that. The idea of setting those boundaries well before you come to a point where you have to make certain decisions. You know, you don't have to wait until it's time to say no, but that no comes as a result of decisions that were made before you got to that position.
Yeah, it's true. It's like Daniel, the Bible says Daniel and his friends determined in their hearts that they were not going to eat certain types of food. So even before they were presented with the food, they had already made up their minds that we're not doing this. And I think also in this particular instance, because we understand that the pleasure is real, the desire is real. Mm-hmm. So to wait until you are in a certain position, you might disadvantage yourself because emotions can rise very high. and deceive you, because sometimes our bodies would like to make us believe that the intensity of the pleasure means you must do it, which is not true.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to note. And I feel like maybe that was one of the things that may have been lacking when we were growing up. Just the honesty of the fact that some of the things that you want to do, some of the things that the flesh desires, they actually they will feel good. It's not like they feel bad or the food that Daniel and them were served is terrible. It tastes disgusting. No,
it was delicious.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of times the things that we want to do, they actually are pleasurable. They taste good. They feel good, but that's the reason why if you make the decision that I'm gonna decide when I'm faced with the thing, that's too late.
Yeah, no, it'll be much harder. It'll be much harder. And I think perhaps I can add there also that so sexual pleasure is a gift from God.
Yes.
We don't manufacture it.
Yes.
We don't make it. It's God who gave us the nerves, the organs, and the functionality. And he wants us to enjoy it in a certain context.
Yes.
And so saying no as well is honoring the gift that God gave us and following what his instructions are for enjoying it best.
Exactly, exactly. Now, how can girls learn to set boundaries without guilt, without fear of being judged? You know, that we've always got that in the back of our minds. I want to be a nice person. And saying no doesn't really feel like a nice person thing to do. So how do we set those boundaries without feeling guilty?
Oh, I think the first thing is to understand that no is not a swear word.
Mm.
No is not a sin. It's not sinful to say no. And that is some people say no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
And we sometimes confuse humility and meekness and kindness with boundarylessness, if there's such a word.
Mm-hmm.
That for you to be a good person, you must just allow everybody to do whatever. They ask anything and you must do it at whatever time, in however way they wish. And so I think it's to understand that God has given us the freedom of choice.
Mm.
And that choice even extends to God, because even God cannot force you to be saved.
Sure.
Even Jesus cannot force you to be saved. He gave us the gift and then he invites us. He follows us. He woos us and he sings to our hearts. But he will never even force salvation. And so he's given us that gift to choose. Mm. So you have a right to choose. As a believer, you then now say to yourself, what informs my choice? And so then you take those values from the word of God, what God has said about you.
Mm.
When the word says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you're made with purpose. You're made with a vision. God did not just say abracadabra and you were there.
Yeah.
You were a plan and a thought in his mind. And so you have value. You have value. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we don't really understand what that is. It's God dwelling in us. You know, it's Emmanuel.
Mm.
It is, Jesus says in John, I think he says, when he's going, he says, I'll send you your spirit and I will be in you.
Mm.
My Father and I will come and make our dwelling in you. And sometimes we don't value that enough. And so when you start to understand that, you understand that I'm not ordinary.
Mm.
And so I can make choices about what I do and who does what to me and with me without needing to feel guilty, because
yes.
It's a God-given gift. It's a God-given gift.
Wow.
I think the other thing that can mess up young people is social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because social media has made us believe that everybody's doing everything and it's okay to do everything.
Yes.
And if you're not doing everything, there's something wrong with you.
Mm. Mm.
And so also managing that consumption, managing what you're saying to yourself as you're viewing whatever you're consuming, whatever you're consuming, understanding that a lot of the content there is to get views, is to get likes. Now is to make money as well on social media.
Yeah.
And so people are not afraid to be sensational, to be ridiculous sometimes, to get the clicks.
Whatever.
And so,
so
it's important to be aware that you cannot trust social media content without your own filters. You really need to. And if somebody is saying this is the way to do it, where are they coming from?
Mm.
How does it align with your own values? So in other words, have values that are more solid than social media.
Mm.
And the word of God gives us that. I think also our culture is not entirely bad. In fact, there's a lot that is good. Yeah.
Sure.
And so your elders, your parents, they pass on some of those principles as well. And those are solid. They've been passed down generations and they've seen that they work. So it's also good to ground yourself in wisdom. Proverbs says, two heads are better than one. Mm-hmm. And so avoid being wise all by yourself. Listen to other people's counsel, especially older people. Gray hairs have a lot of wise things to say.
Yeah.
And so that will help you once again to build your value, to understand the principles, so that when you're saying no, you know you're not an outlier. There's actually a principle that informs your voice.
Beautiful, beautiful. And how can Christian values guide conversations around body autonomy and respect? How exactly can that happen?
I think we can just start with, you were created in God's image. Mm-hmm. You're not random. Mm. You were created in God's image. God has a purpose for you. And you're important. You matter. What you do to your body, what you allow to be done to your body matters. And therefore, it's important that you align and when you're trying to service a Mercedes Benz, you take it to people who know how to service a Mercedes Benz. Mm-hmm. And so because you were created with purpose and intention by a creator, mm-hmm. you go to the creator and ask him how you would like you to treat this body,
yes.
function.
Yes.
And so it's important. And I think it's a learning journey. We grow. You don't at any point in your life know everything, mm-hmm. Or fully understand it. But what you do know and understand, do that. Mm. And when God reveals more, you continue to transform and you become more and more. The goal is to become more and more like Christ.
Yeah.
I think sometimes what can catch young people is that perhaps it's the way we presented it as well, is that Christianity does not always appear to, you know, align with reality or real life.
Okay.
I don't know if you get what I mean, but okay. like it's something we do and we leave on the side and then we live life.
Yes. Okay.
And like so, so right. And so I think also the burden might be on the church to show the young people that Christianity applies to a young life in 2025.
Mm.
It works and you can live it day to day, because sometimes it's not that they don't know the principles and the values, but it can look like they don't make sense
yeah.
in today's world. And so they leave them aside, go live life, and then pick them up when they're going to church.
Yes, exactly. Wow.
I
think that's so important. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier on about understanding your worth, understanding your value. All of those are part of the Christian conversations that we're having, because from where do I derive that self-worth? It's from my relationship with God. So all of that matters.
Yes.
So it goes beyond, again, like you were saying, it's not just about saying no, which is what we're often taught, that no, just say no. Just say no. but why am I saying no? What does it mean to say no? And, you know, when does that decision come in? Why? How does it happen? And all of that. I think all of that ties into that. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. And then when it comes to peer pressure, romantic pressure, what role do you think those play when it's like when the consent becomes blurry? Like, I'm not sure. I know I should say no. I've been taught to say no. But, you know, the pressure is heightened now.
So like you said, I think we must not hide from the fact that the pressure is real.
Yeah.
The pressure is intense, and our society is, more sexualized than before.
Hey,
like at this point in time, it's more sexualized than it was 5 years ago and there's a lot of content that is, absolutely everywhere. And so I think it's important for young people to be aware that the pressure is out there and that the general values of society do not align with the values of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one, before we even come closer to the peers.
Yeah.
And then for everybody to understand that peers are important in the life of a young person.
Mm-hmm.
Peers are very important. They're extending beyond the core family now. They want to know that somebody else likes me who's not my mom.
Yeah.
And because they are important, it's also important who I choose to have around me. Mm-hmm. Because if you are constantly hanging out, excuse me, with people who have different boundaries than you, it's going to wear out. It's gonna wear you.
Yeah.
It's going to wear you. Yeah. And so it's important to be aware of who are you keeping around you, who are your close people, who are your besties.
Yeah.
Who are the people? And for me, the definition of a best friend or a close friend mm-hmm. is a person you allow to influence you when you're vulnerable.
Ooh.
Or when you yourself are unable to make a decision and they say something to you and you trust them.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm okay, I trust you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow your advice.
I like that.
And so that means also you can't have 100 besties. Mm, it's not possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not possible to have, you know, sometimes in friend groups, even to have 6 people who exactly align with you where your life is.
Yeah.
So it's important to be aware of who you allow to influence your life.
That's a beautiful way of putting it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of something as trivial as fashion choices, right? And I'm thinking, you know,
yeah.
it's like having that friend who, when I don't know what to wear, and the person says, wear this, and I just trust them, okay, I'm going to wear that.
Yeah.
We make those decisions about what to wear. Now imagine deeper life choices, like what to do, what's right and wrong, choices that could affect the rest of my life. That's a good way of putting it. Someone who I can allow to influence me when my guards are down, when my defenses are low.
Yes. Yeah. Because sometimes you're not even aware that your defenses are low.
Right.
You're not always aware. You're not always aware. So it's important that close person is a trustworthy person. Mm. And then I think it's important to be aware that it's not just other people who influence you. You also have influence on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you using that influence? Right. Are you owning the influence and allowing yourself to use it? Because like I said, not everyone in your peer group is going to be exactly aligned with you. Yes. But do they actually know where you stand? Do they know where you stand?
Mm.
Much as you know where they stand, do they know where you stand? Are you also exerting your influence? And that comes now, remember, to the earlier point of understand that you have a voice. God gave you a voice and the freedom to choose. And so own your influence and be a steward of your influence. It starts even as early as that. I mean, even as adults at 50 years old, you're still stewarding your influence.
Mm.
You're still stewarding your influence. And then for young girls to learn that if somebody disagrees with me or my choice,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me.
Mm.
And to be able to live with that discomfort of making a choice that someone, a friend, disagrees with,
mm-hmm.
and allowing them to be unhappy about my choice because it's my choice.
Mm. Mm. That's an important one. Just learning to live with that discomfort.
Yes, yeah, and to also learn that as you grow older,
mm-hmm.
you can make choices as a group, but you meet the consequences as individuals.
Right.
So you may decide as a friend, as a peer group, that you are going to go out and drink every Friday and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you all go together, you fund each other, you have fun. But it's individuals that are going to have hangover the next morning.
Mm.
It's individuals that are going to pass out if you drink too much.
Yeah.
If somebody is roofied, it'll be the one person. And so the consequences of actions that even you take as a group, often you meet them on your own. So you have to ask yourself, am I prepared to deal with this? Because I'm going to deal with it by myself. So even if it's romantic pressure and your boyfriend is pressuring you to do this and you do it together, it's you and me against the world. Mm. But when the consequences come,
it's you.
yeah, You face them on your own.
Yeah.
If you fall pregnant, if you, whatever that is,
yeah,
it's you. If it's a record, you know, if it's a record,
yeah,
if you get caught by the police doing something illegal,
yeah,
yeah, if the door cut is not going to say Mercy and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's going to say your name on it.
Yeah.
So understand that you, as you grow older, you bear the consequences on your own. Are you prepared to live with those consequences?
Sure. Hmm. Very important to think about. And it's funny, why is it so difficult to think that far ahead as a young person? What is it that makes young people's minds so much on the now? Because it kind of sounds, it sounds elementary. It sounds like, well, yeah, you have to think about that. But it's like, it does not register. When you're younger, it's like, it's all about now, now, now.
Yes, and the pleasure of now.
Yeah.
It's partly developmental because the part of their brain that deals with emotions is heightened at that stage.
Right.
And the part that deals with logic is almost like trying to catch up. It's like running after the bus and trying to catch up. It's
right.
Developing.
Yeah.
It's on its way, but they don't see very far around the corner.
Mm.
They really don't. And many times you ask a young person, what were you thinking? And they can't answer you because sometimes they didn't.
And it's interesting. I think I like this conversation so much conversations like this, because it's more about helping young people to make those decisions again before you get to that heightened place. Because once you get there, you know, it's harder to make the right decision. And also, instead of, you know, that mindset of, we're actually going to keep you away from the temptation. We're going to keep you locked up in the house until you're old enough to go out and make those decisions. That doesn't help either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to
to
rather equip them to make the right decisions, even in those heightened situations. But you can't keep them locked up forever until they're 30. It just won't happen, and it doesn't help.
It cannot, it's not practical.
Yeah.
And as far as romantic pressure is concerned, sometimes the thinking is, well, okay, how do I know we'll be compatible? Or if you love me, you will do this.
Yeah.
If a person loves you, they will align with your values.
Yeah.
They will honor what you honor. They will respect what you respect. And God has given us the organs. If a dog or a cow can figure out how to mate without a book, honestly, how would us human beings who have books and the internet fail to figure out how this thing works? So there's no excuse to, I needed to see how it works. I was so afraid. No, really.
Wow.
We're intelligent human beings.
Yes.
There is no, and I often say, to young men, I've never heard of anybody who died of sexual arousal, and it was not, you know, it was not resolved. I have never heard of such. Mm. You go and take a jog or take a cold shower.
Yeah.
The fact that you've been aroused is not an excuse to say, now I must do it. It's you did it, what you were wearing, or you allowed us to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
That is not true. It is not true at all.
Mm. Interesting. And then how can older women or mentors help young girls to understand their worth and help them understand, like, navigate their way through these decisions? I think a lot of times young women look at older women like, you guys don't know. You don't know what this is like. You don't know what I'm going through.
Yeah.
How do we bridge that gap? How do we come together and start speaking the same language?
I think one thing that I have had to learn, having children as well, is that there's a part of their experience that we really actually don't fully understand because we lived in a different generation.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to listen without being condescending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when you listen to a child and they're explaining something and you know exactly what happened and what they're explaining is not what's happening. And so you're kind of half listening, but like just thinking, okay, can we get this over with? But really listen to what they're saying and the pressures that they're facing, because the pressures are different.
Mm.
They're different. a long time ago, well, at least when I was a teen, society kind of helped us because the general understanding of what the standard was not entirely uniform, but largely so.
Right.
And so, you know, it was a little bit easier to deal with the pressure. But nowadays, it's different. It's different. There's internet, it's a global, there's TikTok, there's all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to listen as older people. First of all, really listen to what the pressure is. A lot of times, young people are not necessarily wanting to indulge, but they're just asking, how this is how I'm feeling right now. So how do I cope with how I'm feeling given the standard that I know and understand? It's not just, no, stop it, don't do it.
Exactly.
It's acknowledging also the pressure. It's acknowledging that certain choices that they have to make, they're going to lose friends. They're going to be maimed. They may even be bullied. And so it's a more difficult choice, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
And so we need to support them without judging them. And if they make mistakes, we need to not condemn. We need to not condemn. We need to not shame. Understand that nobody is perfect.
Yeah.
No one is perfect. We are growing. But acknowledge their desire to live to a higher standard, their desire to keep boundaries. So if something happens, to be understanding. And I think most importantly, I find with young people, is to lead them back to the forgiveness of God. I think we don't say that often enough. Help young people understand that if something should happen, even if you actually wanted it, but then after you realize, no, man, this is not who I am. Point them back. Yes, point them back to Christ. Instead of, but we told you, but you knew this, what were you thinking? Point them back to Christ. Help them realize that Christ, after you've sinned, you confess and you repent, he gives you permission to walk away as if you never did it.
Wow.
And that's the beauty of salvation, hey?
Yeah,
you walk away as if you never did it. You walk away looking like Jesus.
Hey.
And that's amazing. That's really amazing.
It is.
And also, we need to be willing to share our own stories. We also were not perfect. And that is the truth.
Yeah.
We were not perfect. The environment was different, but be willing to share also our own fears. Sometimes we look too perfect, that young people are scared to talk to us. We also made mistakes in our own way and in that time, and talk openly.
To do it publicly.
Yes, yeah. Or yeah. No one was going to expose you.
Yeah.
So be open and share with them how you managed it. Even some of us made mistakes whose consequences we are still living with now.
Yeah.
Be open to share, because that's how your story becomes redemptive. This is what I did. I was wild. I did not listen. And I did this and this. This was the consequence. But this is how God's grace redeemed me. And this is where I am now.
Beautiful.
You know, those are important to share as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. Well, any final thoughts, any final words that you'd like to share with regard to the subject, Mercy?
I think that as Christians and as Christianity as a whole, it's important for us to present biblically correctly the value and worth of women.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's dating, it's sexual relationships, even in marriage, a woman was not created to serve a man. And I want to qualify that. A woman was created to serve the Lord. She was created to serve the Lord. And the Lord gives her freedom of choice, gives her agency over herself, her body. It's her body. It's her body. And even when you are married, the Bible changes the language around, I think it's Corinthians, when Paul says, it's his body and it's your body, but there's a context to that. So we cannot demand that women and girls give their bodies according to the external demands. she has another driver who's driving her life and her decisions and her choices. And we need to amplify that voice more, that the image of God in a woman is not inferior to the image of God in a man. It is the image of God.
Yes.
And that our young girls, our women need to be given that agency. It's a gift of God. It's given to everybody. It's given to absolutely everybody. It is harmful cultural practices that have sometimes inserted themselves into some of our scriptures that make us believe that a woman cannot speak, you know, and we extend it over everything, absolutely everything. And it's not true. It's not biblical. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Mercy, for coming through for this very necessary conversation. Listeners, I trust that you were blessed by that and that hopefully our conversations can become more fruitful with regard to the subject, that we'll be able to communicate better and able to build up our young girls to have the confidence to say no, understanding what their value is. And beyond that, that the young men as well would understand the meaning of consent and not also put it in the hands of the young women in your lives. You too have to make those decisions about what you will and will not do because of your value, because of your worth that you find in your Creator. Thank you so much, Mercy. God bless you.
Thank you for having me, Sibo.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.